Good evening, and welcome to Light in the Darkness. My name is Red Mark. I'm going to share this commentary with you. It's entitled Righteous Responsibility. A certain minister had a reputation for being eccentric, and one Sunday morning, he told his congregation that he believed his church was dead. You can imagine the murmurings from the pews when he said, "Come back tonight, and I'm going to preach the funeral service for this church." The members were shocked, but the attendance for that evening service was larger than it had been in years. In front of the pews was a casket as the people sat in stunned silence. The pastor then delivered his message, and after the last amen, the pastor said, quote, "Some of you may not agree with me that this church is dead. So that you may be convinced, I'm going to ask you to view the remains. I want you to file by the casket one by one. See who is dead." So in preparation for this unorthodox presentation, the minister had placed a mirror in the bottom of the casket. Now it's obvious who everyone saw when it came to view the deceased themselves. This excerpt, by the way, was taken from a David Jeremiah book called Escape the Coming Night. Excellent read, by the way. Those of you who read my commentaries know that I spend a good deal of time ranting about the condition of the church in today's world. That certainly isn't about to change anytime soon, as long as the current state of affairs continues. However, I do and must admit that I haven't spoken enough about each of our own responsibilities concerning this personal growth. Certainly, we need to hold our church leaders accountable for teaching sound doctrine, but also, we must take responsibility for ourselves as well. Now, as an example, we see in Christ's seven church teachings of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 that no matter what condition the main body was in, there was always a remnant that persevered no matter what. These people that constituted a remnant didn't look around for excuses, nor did they play the blame game. They took it upon themselves to rise above the predominant sins of their fellowships and made a difference. Should we be any different? Now let's for a moment look back to the beginning. The church was primarily underground and persecuted. Look at Paul. He wasn't popular in his day. He was little known, despised, and rejected. And what about our Savior, Jesus Christ? As Billy Graham so aptly said, he was despised and rejected with nowhere to lay his head. He was born in another person's stable. He died outside the city walls, an outcast, having come to his own who received him not, and he was buried in another man's tomb. Wow. In his footsteps followed the heroes of the faith who were tortured, mocked, imprisoned, stoned, torn asunder, slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves of the earth. Look to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 and 38. Now let's fast forward to today. Still, in many parts of the world, being a Christian means suffering and martyrdom. In fact, at last count, some 52 nations rejected Christianity with a vengeance. Here in America, however, giving your life to Jesus brings little persecution, at least so far. It looks like that's changing rapidly. But as a matter of fact, unlike our predecessors, it's difficult to separate the Christian from the rest of society nowadays, isn't it? And again, we can talk about the reasons, but our primary mistake is that too many of us have geared our lives to the gain the world favor. We argue that humanity is more Christian now, that we need not suffer as our forefathers did. But the truth is, times are not any brighter. We Christians are a foreign influence, a minority group in a heathen world. If we as individuals in the church are acceptable to this present age of spiraling sin, we are not stirring up trouble and suffering reproach, then God have mercy on us. If we are at peace with this world, then it's because we've sold out to it. Now, simply stated, we in the church are making a great mistake by trying to make Christianity popular and pleasant. We have taken away the cross and substituted cushions. But Christ said the world hated him, and he predicted that it would hate us. As Dr. Graham said, he invited us not to a picnic, but to a pilgrimage. He offered us not an excursion, but an execution. Nowhere in the New Testament do I find that Christians are to expect to be popular and successful. And quite frankly, the more you live and profess your faith in this world, the more isolated you will become. I can tell that from my own life. As all of you are aware, I truly believe that we are living in the last hours of the times of the Gentiles, as Luke 21:24 and Matthew 24:12 say. Because of the increase in wickedness, the most will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. Are you as a Christian and proud of it? We need to be. Are you willing to profess your faith regardless of political correctness or personal safety? You should be able to say with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's that power. That's Romans 1:16. Continuing, Hebrews 10:25 states this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, I'll close with this, with encouragement for each of you to stand strong for the kingdom of our Savior. And remember, no matter what the circumstance, it is only about sharing the love and eternal salvation of our great King, Jesus Christ. Finally, let me leave you with a previously used statement, one that I can find uplifting and relevant to our purpose in this world. We are the light of the world. The evening news is a commentary of the darkness of our world. It is a graphic visualization of the absence of God in many places in our communities. So what is the real problem? It is not just the presence of darkness. It is also the absence of light. We can pierce the darkness in the name of Jesus. Light exposes darkness, and light symbolizes the presence of God. Light represents all that is good. We are the light. Until next time, this is Red.